I didn't actually get into bed till like 7:45. And then before I fell asleep, boom, fireworks went off. We were staying at Fort Wilderness Cabins area, and that prevented me from going to bed at the time I wanted to go to bed. So keep that in mind if you are sensitive to noise. Get to bed early. You got to prioritize that sleep. Think about how long it's going to take from the hotel in order to get to the park. And then throw away clothing for race day. Super, super important. If you are constantly worried about getting injured or you don't know how to get faster as a runner and you want to continue to run for stress relief, then this is the podcast for you. Welcome to Healthy Runner, the only place that provides you with training tips, injury recovery, and prevention tools with actionable strategies by experts in the running industry so you can develop a stronger running body and feel confident that you can overcome any obstacle as a runner. I'm your host, Dr. Dwayne Scotty, avid runner, running physical therapist and coach, educator, founder of Spark Healthy Runner, where we help dedicated runners get stronger, run faster, and enjoy lifelong injury-free running with the perfect online running coach, even if you've been told to stop running with an injury or you think coaching is just for fast runners. Learn more about our signature coaching program at learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com. Every week, we help a runner just like you learn how to consistently get in your mental clearing miles and even hit PRs well into your 40s, 50s, and beyond. Make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or follow the show on Spotify so you don't miss the next episode. Thanks for joining me. Now on to the show. How do you prepare for a Disney run? How do you survive the dopey challenge? In this Run Disney special training, I will share with you 6 key steps to conquering your Disney running dreams. As the great Walt Disney said, if you can dream it, you can do it. And at the time of this recording, it is Disney Marathon Weekend registration. So if you are one of the lucky few who snagged your spot in the marathon, half marathon, or dopey challenge, then congrats to you. So I figured this was the perfect time to share with you my best Disney running training tips, since many of you now are starting to think how to prepare for Disney run. If this is our first introduction, first off, welcome. I am Dr. Dwayne Scotty. I'm a running physical therapist, coach, educator, founder of Spark Healthy Runner, and my mission is to preserve the health and longevity of runners everywhere by allowing them to get stronger, run faster, and enjoy lifelong injury-free running. In terms of Run Disney experience, I ran the Disney Half Marathon with my wife for her first half marathon back in 2020, right before the pandemic, and the world got turned upside down. Then this past January 2024, I completed 48.6 magical miles, feeling strong, and I had fun. And for those not watching the video version of this, I am wearing my Dopey Challenge shirt. I got my Dopey medal right here, all lit up. Awesome medal, by the way. And from a coaching standpoint, we have coached dozens of athletes to conquer their Disney dreams at Spark Healthy Runner. And you can get more of my deep dive reflection on how I was able to have fun, feel strong, and run a fast marathon, letting my fitness and durability show, all while stopping for some character stops, waking up at 2 a.m. for days in a row, and having to deal with some unexpected weather and bus challenges. You can check out that full recap of my dopey experience in episode 210 on the Healthy Runner podcast. And I will certainly put the link to that wherever you are listening to this in the show notes. So whether you are a seasoned marathoner, or you're looking to do your first marathon, or your first Run Disney race, or your first Run Disney Dopey Challenge, whether it's Wine and Dine, Princess, Springtime Surprise, I know there is something you will be able to take away for your Run Disney training within this training. So since it is a Run Disney episode, I had to rep all of the dopey garb. And before we get started, one quick coaching announcement and save the date for you Wine and Dine runners. Our signature half marathon group training enrollment will be open on Wednesday, July 17th. So Save the date for July 17th. Did you circle that date on your calendar? Open up your phone right now, pop it in, put Spark Healthy Runner group half marathon coaching starts on July 17th. And this is really our signature kind of group training program. We only do this twice a year. We do it for spring half marathon training that opens in January, and then we do it for fall half marathon training that opens in July. So there's only 2 weeks out of the whole year, out of the 52, that you get to jump on our team within our group and really be guided by our expert coaching team. So take advantage of that. And I hope to see you in our group training group, especially if you are doing Wine and Dine. Now, I'm going to be real with you, future Disney runners. 7 to 9 out of 10 of you listening to this right now are going to get injured. And probably some of you will unfortunately require some invasive procedure, such as an injection or maybe even a surgery. And probably some of you are going to need to stop running for more than a couple of weeks. And honestly, every single one of these injuries could be avoided because they are usually due to training errors, essentially. And that's why I'm doing this today. And every one of these really, honestly, could be avoided. And trying to grow as a runner is super overwhelming. If this is your first Disney race experience, it can be very overwhelming because Disney is like got everything involved with it, right? So you need a plan, right? So that, like, that's first off. And if you don't have a plan, then when you're training for your Run Disney event, your running is going to sometimes get slower or worse, lead to injury. You're going to waste time chasing fads. You're going to guess instead of following a process. And that leads to frustration. That leads to constantly feeling overwhelmed with all of the information overload out there. And I don't want that for you. And I have a 6-step plan on how to grow as a runner to optimize your running for longevity. And this will save about 90% of the injuries that occur with running. And it's not a plan that most adult runners know about. And Spark Healthy Runner has given hundreds upon hundreds of runners a plan for getting stronger and faster without getting injured. And our Run Disney plan will work for you too. So all you need to do is 3 things. 1, you need to just listen to this, honestly, listen to the 6-step plan, learn. 2, take action, implement the 6-step plan. And then 3 is share it with a running friend or a new runner who's just getting started, because this plan should be required for anyone taking up running as an adult or doing a Run Disney event. And really, here's what's at stake if you don't do these 3 things. Like, someone listening to this training right now at some moment is going to know someone that they care about who is having to give up their Disney training this year, or worse, hobble through the race, like get through the race, get your medal, and then not be able to actually run after the race because you're burnt out or you're injured. And then you don't get to reap the benefits that running has to offer. When we run throughout the year, all the mental, the physical benefits of running. So we're all about longevity here and lifelong injury-free running, and you're not going to be able to do that. So that really would have been me, honestly, when I started my running journey. I suffered my first running injury. It was an upper hamstring tendon pain, proximal hamstring tendinopathy. I then got runner's knee, posterior tibial tendonitis, plantar fasciitis, and Achilles tendonitis. And I thought my body was just not made for running. Honestly, I was like a gym rat when I first started my career as a physical therapist. And I was always like, you know, lifting in the gym. I was like, I just can't run. Luckily, I'm like super stubborn and had an epiphany as a sports physical therapist who has helped many people with these types of injuries. And you know, the thing I really learned is that adult runners need to look at themselves as athletes. So just like, you know, Tom Brady, Steph Curry, Derek Jeter would take care of their bodies as like professional athletes, I realized that adult runners need to stop thinking of running as a hobby or a form of exercise or just something you do in order to run a Disney race. So therefore, we need to like take it somewhat seriously. Not too serious, though. We're not going to, like, you know, go on to win the Disney Marathon or be in the Olympics. But, you know, we need to follow a consistent framework in order to actually grow as a runner and to continue doing what we love as runners, getting those mental clearing miles in. So therefore, this six-step plan that I'm going to share with you is, if it's really implemented by every runner listening to this right now and shared with your Disney running friends, you will never have to take that call from your like running friend that their doctor told them to stop running for good. Or, you know, you won't need to feel guilty that you can run, but your lifelong friend can't run. And instead, you will continue to meet up with your running friends, do those long runs on the weekends, you know, go to those Disney races and enjoy like the best running years of your life. And as a Disney runner listening to this right now, you are likely looking for a playbook to ensure that you not only finish the race, but enjoy the process of training for the Disney race. For instance, like, have you ever wanted to align your mental priorities as a runner to overcome mental hurdles and create realistic expectations for your running, or develop a strong running body so you can stay healthy to withstand a training cycle for a Run Disney event, or like run faster and farther, maybe do your first half marathon, first OB challenge, and maybe hit a PR for that like goal race of yours? Or do you want to learn how to eat the right foods to fuel your running so you don't run out of energy during your Disney race? Or have you ever wanted to like recover as a runner and learn what stretches and what recovery products you should use to have fresh legs for the next day of running during the challenge series, whether it's like wine and dine, goofy, or dopey? Or how to execute the perfect race day strategy when you're running multiple races, multiple days in a row? I've had to do all of that, and I am happy to share this with you. And like I mentioned, like when I first started running at age 31, I didn't know any of these things. So if you feel like, hey, I don't know any of these things, like that's why I'm sharing this with you. And there are really six parts of your running journey that need to be optimized so you can run strong and last long, because a lot of those Disney challenges are long. Right? Let's be honest. And what are those six steps? One is mindset. Two is strength training. Three is the run plan. Four is nutrition. Five is recovery. And six is your race strategy. And, you know, once you really optimize and implement these six parts of your running journey, you're not only going to be able to, you know, stay healthy during your training, but more importantly, you're going to feel confident to toe the line, just like I was in this last dopey challenge that I was able to conquer 48.6 miles in 4 days and, you know, run a half marathon the day before a marathon for the first time in my life. And in that marathon, I actually ran a sub 3 hour and 45 minute marathon, coming within 4 minutes of my marathon PR, which is just like unheard of. And considering the fact I wasn't quote unquote racing the actual marathon, I would have told you were crazy, or I would have told you were dopey if you, you know, said that I would do that. So that's why I'm so excited to share this with you today. So you can stay healthy, get stronger, and really enjoy lifelong injury-free running after your Disney race. All right. So like I like to use this analogy, your training for Disney and your running should be reliable and durable, like a well-built house. So for the purpose of this analogy, here are the like six parts to building a durable home that will last a lifetime. Let's talk about the first part, guys. The first tip that I have for you in conquering your next Disney race is really starts with the mind, and it's the mindset. So you have to think about, this is in my analogy for building a house, this is the design, the planning. They get permits, right? To like start to build the house and look at some of the drafts, right? It's like the designer, the architect, that's your mindset. So I really want you to think about, number one, what is your why? Why did you actually sign up for this Disney race? Is it because you wanted to run the longest distance? Okay, that's nice. But, you know, when you're out there on a random like Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. and you got to go for your run that's on the training plan, like, is that going to be enough to get you out the door? So think about, what is your why? Was it something that, you know, someone said that you couldn't do? Are you, you know, trying to challenge yourself as an adult to do something hard? Were you never an athlete growing up? And now as an adult, you want to be able to be a good role model for your kids, maybe, right? You want to show them that, you know, you're getting out the door, you're exercising, that mom can still do hard things. Right? Like, there are so many different whys out there that a lot of the athletes that we work with have. You know, was it, you know, are you going through a grieving process? You know, that was, you know, a huge outlet for me when I lost my mom during COVID, unfortunately, but running really was my outlet, right? So maybe that's your outlet. And maybe that's, you know, you're running this Disney race in dedication of, you know, someone that you lost. So, you know, there are many different whys. You really need to find like your true why, like what is going to keep you motivated during this training, because it will be difficult at times and you need a strong why. So the other thing that I want, for you to think about with mindset is really setting clear and realistic expectations for your race. So you need to think about, you know, when are you running this race? Are you running it during, you know, a time period that's going to be extremely stressful for you? Are you, you know, working on wedding planning during this time you're going to be running your race? Are, you know, you starting a new job? Are you going back to school? Are you getting your PhD, right? Like, all these life stressors are going to affect your training and your performance on race day. So you need to set clear and realistic expectations. If this is the first dopey for you and this is your first marathon, like, you need to set some clear and realistic expectations. By the way, I don't recommend that for most. Can it be done? Yes. Are there many who do it? Yes, there are. But again, I'm all about lifelong injury free running, and I highly don't recommend that your first marathon is actually the dopey challenge. So we need to think about realistic expectations. If it's your first marathon and you're doing dopey, time should not be anywhere in your frame of reference for any of the races, 5K, 10K, half, or the full. So that's one thing. And then the last tip that I'm going to give you here for mindset is utilizing mantras on race day, utilizing mantras even during training. Well, training is really important to actually practice what you're going to use on race day. So, you know, a mantra is something that you're going to repeat to yourself. It's a phrase or a word that is going to get you through the training. So if things get hard, you're on your first long run, you're on your first 18 mile or 20 mile, or if you're running the marathon, your first 10 mile, or if you're running a half marathon, you know, what are you going to tell yourself that's going to keep you going, you know, and stay focused? Are you going to say, you know, I am strong, I am fast? Or are you going to say, you know, let's just maintain a strong mind, a strong body, just keep running? You know, that's my motto. So I tend to say that a lot during the middle of races, before the going gets tough. Are you going to just count, right? Like, count to 10 and focus on that during the race when the going gets tough. So you have to think about utilizing some of these mantras that are going to be really important for your mindset on race day. And then lastly, staying calm on race day. I do want to kind of mention that mindset-wise, staying calm, because you are going to be anxious and remaining calm is going to be key. And you're going to have to practice this in training on staying calm, breathing, not letting your heart rate already feel like you ran the race 2 hours before the race. Like, trust me, guys, I've been there. Like, that happened on my second marathon attempt, in which I had, you know, tremendous pre-race anxiety, GI system went in a turbulent whirl. It was not fun, not great. I did not feel like myself running the race, even though my training was a great training cycle leading up to it. So I've been there. I know many runners who have struggled with that. So you need to really focus on calming the mind. And how are you going to calm the mind? Are you going to journal? Are you going to read the night before? Are you going to read the day of? Are you going to have meditations that are your go-to that keep you calm? So all this fits into the mindset. So, and I know some of it to you might sound a little like foo-foo. You're like, oh, this isn't like training. I thought I was listening to training. Trust me, the mindset piece is huge. And that's like really what I have learned these last 2 years in my personal running journey and has led to my breakthrough marathon and this Dopey Challenge is really, you know, spending the time to learn about mindset and really doubling down on some of the strategies that I mentioned to you here today. So let's get to tip number two, or the second step to growing in your running journey. And that is really strength training, because strength training is the foundation for all of the running and all of the miles that your body is going to be able to tolerate during your Disney training. And this is like, you know, in our analogy to building a house, it's the foundation of the house, right? Like, you don't want to build a multi-million dollar house on like a poor foundation, right? You would never do that. So the foundation has to be strong. And how do we do that? It's with strength training, or training in order to run, as I like to say. So you need to, you know, a couple quick tips here are do run specific exercises, and you need to learn how to activate run specific muscles, specifically the glutes. The glutes, super, super important muscle group that we need to be utilizing as runners. They're our powerhouse, they're our biggest muscle group. They are key to preventing the common running related injuries that I see for runners training for Disney, whether it's IT band syndrome, runner's knee, Achilles tendon pain, it's hamstring tendon pain, definitely is really related to glutes that are inactive or not functioning sufficiently in order to tolerate the demands of your training. So you need to strengthen the glutes. I have a whole strong glute guide that you can get a free download that has my top five exercises that runners should be doing that you can do simple exercises in your home with a miniband. So you can get that download, get the video. It's me literally instructional video of how to do these exercises at learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com/strong hips. So that's kind of the key. I've done previous trainings on strength training for runners specifically, but strength training is really going to be key, honestly, for you having a successful Run Disney training experience. You can't only run. It needs to include strength training in order to run, as I like to say. There are other elements of strength training, such as making sure you're doing exercise on one leg, and, you know, making sure that you are strengthening your foot muscles, making sure that if you are an advanced runner and you've been doing some strength training, maybe doing kind of boot camp style classes, you know, maybe you're ready for some jump training exercises or what we call plyometrics, because when we run, running is a series of hops from one foot to the other. So we need to train our muscles in a plyometric fashion. So there are specific plyometric exercises that you can do. So strength training is super, super important in keeping you healthy as a runner and to allow you to run those long runs that you are going to need to run. So you have to think about scheduling your strength training within your weekly schedule. So don't forget about strength training. And let me take a quick break, honestly, from these Disney running training tips to tell you about our newest partner. I'm super excited about this, Cura NZ, which is a New Zealand natural running supplement that has recently launched in the US. It's backed by more than 50 studies proving its benefits for recovery and performance. One study showed 3 times faster recovery and half the amount of delayed onset muscle soreness, or what we call DOMS, compared to placebo. And I started using Cura NZ leading up to my goal marathon this past October in hopes of improving my performance by increasing peripheral blood flow. So that was my rationale. That's why I started taking it. I started, you know, doing some reading, doing some digging about some of these black currants. And I had a breakthrough race in getting my first sub 4 hour marathon It was a 23-minute PR for me, and it was a time of 3:40:38. And then I continued to use it during my marathon recovery, which was critical because I only had 12 weeks between that hard marathon after a whole marathon training cycle before I ran Disney's Dopey Challenge. And, you know, I was able to, as I mentioned, finish that 48.6 miles in 4 days, and not only, you know, be able to run and have fun, but like I came within 4 minutes of my marathon PR. And I do think that supplementing with Cura NZ was essential at keeping me healthy. I didn't get like sick during this training cycle. Even after my marathon, I didn't get sick, catch a cold. And the research on polyphenol anthocyanin is it's a strong antioxidant within black currants. It's an emerging field, and it looks very promising for endurance athletes. So having a supplement that is backed by science is important to me, and the reason why I've been using Cura NZ. And I'm excited to announce this new partnership with Spark Healthy Runner. And as an everyday runner myself, looking to maintain a strong mind and a strong body, I've been extremely pleased with its effects on my personal like recovery and performance during my hard training. So I wanted to offer a discount to you guys, our Healthy Runner community, where you can get 20% off your first order using the code HEALTHYRUNNER. So if you're in the US, just go to curanzusa.com. And if you're one of our UK listeners, then you can go to their UK site, which is just www.curanz.com. And remember, use that code HEALTHYRUNNER to get 20% off of your order. All right, let's get to step number three, or tip number three, which is the run plan. So this is the part that most of you are spending 100% of your time. So I'm going to share with you some tips, things to consider. As I, you know, use this analogy of the house, this is the framing of the house. So this is like putting up what most people think of a house, right? Which is what most people think of training for Disney is running, or what plan do I need, right? What plan am I going to follow? So definitely having a plan is key, like I mentioned before. And you can run fast and far by properly progressing your run plan around four types of runs as building blocks. And that is the easy run, the long run, the tempo run or threshold pace run. And then I'm not even going to really want to say this to you guys, but the interval run, because there's probably going to be a rare few of you who will need to do an interval run in training for Disney. I didn't even do interval training and running that pace, but it's a faster pace. It's doing repeat, you know, 400s, repeat 800s around the track. I didn't do any of that for my Dopey Challenge training, and I was able to get the results I did. So we're going to put that one to the side. The ones that you need to be focusing on, and the most common mistake I see in runners, is running your easy runs too fast and thinking about what your goal pace is for your race and thinking you need to run close to that in training. That is a no-no. That is a recipe for disaster. That is a fast track. That's like the fast pass lane when we used to have the fast passes at Disney. That's like a fast pass to getting injured. Easy runs should be easy, meaning they actually don't feel hard. So you go out there, can have a conversation with someone. You can talk to someone, right? It's conversational pace. If you're not able to do that and it doesn't feel easy, most likely you really need to utilize a run, walk, run strategy. And that is the strategy that I give all of the runners who are battling injuries with, who are looking to run their Disney race, but not have IT band syndrome or not have plantar fasciitis pain. And I had a great interview with the Disney guru himself, Jeff Galloway, who is the founder of the Run Walk Run method. And it was a fantastic interview. I really enjoyed it a lot. I got to meet Jeff at the Run Disney Expo this past January, asked if he would be a guest on the show. You will take a lot of take-home points from my interview with him. So I would check out episode 215 on the Healthy Runner podcast to hear my interview with Jeff about the run, walk, run method and how it can be extremely helpful for you as a Disney runner in completing your race. So check that episode out. But easy runs, second most important run that you need is the long run. And you cannot break up the long run. I get this all the time with my athletes who are, let's say you're training for the marathon, who want to do, well, you know what? I'm going to do 12 and then I'm going to drive somewhere else, or I'm going to do 8 miles, you know, later in the day. That is not a long run. That's two separate shorter runs. In order to master and conquer the half marathon and the marathon, it is critical that you get the time on your feet. And it's not even so much the miles, because if you are, let's just say, a 13-minute mile pace per person, I would not recommend you actually run 20 miles and spend like 5 hours of time on your feet, because the benefit to risk ratio is really not going to help you much. You know, the risk of injury is going to be a lot higher than any benefits that you are going to get as a runner. So just keep that in mind, that it is time on feet and you need to get long runs in and not break them up. That's a common mistake that I see a lot. And if you are not healthy, meaning you're not having any pain, there's no business at all that you should be doing faster running, no tempo runs, no threshold pace runs. Because again, that's going to be a recipe for you not being able to actually toe the line for your Disney race. So you should be keeping all of your runs easy. If it is your first dopey challenge, all of your runs easy. The other tip I'm going to give you here for your run plan for the challenges, you need to get used to running back-to-back days, because that's what you're going to be doing for the race. So if you're doing wine and dine challenge, you need to get used to running, you know, 2 to 3 days in a row. If you're doing the dopey challenge, back-to-back longer run days is key and critical. And I talked about that in my recap. That's the training that I implemented into my marathon training. Since I did run a marathon 12 weeks prior, the longest long run that I did do was 16 miles and then did 12 the next day, or it might've been 18 and then 14 the next day. But I was doing back-to-back long run training. It was the first time I've ever done that. Typically, I do not recommend that for beginner runners whatsoever, but if you are going to be doing the Dopey Challenge, you need to get your body used to back-to-back long run days. And then it's going to be super, super critical if you are utilizing that training that you're going to double down on my fifth tip that I'm going to share with you today, which is going to be recovery. So a little sneak peek there to the recovery bucket. But back-to-back long runs can be key for you in training. All right. Don't think of running faster, especially if you're doing these challenges. Please, please, please don't. Don't focus on pace. Don't worry about what your pace is on your watch. Just think about getting in the miles. Just think about being consistent. Just think about embracing the easy run, keeping it conversational. If you're looking at heart rate, you're tracking that, keeping the heart rate low, making sure you're not huffing and puffing. Those are going to be keys for you being successful in conquering your Disney race. I hope you are enjoying this episode and it is providing value for you. I wanted to take a brief moment to share a story of a real runner like you who is struggling with a common problem that you may be facing. Here is one of our athletes who got the guidance, support, and accountability from our Healthy Runner coaching team to get clarity and structure on the 6 steps to growing as a runner with personalized strength, nutrition, and run plans. I hope their story inspires you that there is hope to either get over your running injury or to continue getting faster or running longer so you can continue to get in those mental clearing miles and enjoy your running journey again. Here is their inspiring story.
So I wanted to talk about my experience working with Coach Latoya and getting ready for my very first marathon. I ran my very first marathon on January 7th, 2024 in Disney, in the most magical place on earth. And here it is, the medal, the hard-earned medal. But I started working with Coach Latoya in August. I joined Spark Healthy Runners as a longevity in the longevity program. So I went into this knowing that I needed some accountability because I don't like long runs. So I needed accountability. I needed to get out of my head, because this would have been the longest distance I have ever run. And I'm coming into this program with some previous foot and ankle injuries. So I had some fears, and that always made me stay stagnant in my training. So I felt like I needed some guidance in order to get to the finish line. And I gotta tell you, working with Coach Latoya was amazing. Between our coaching calls and just the program she set up for me, made this marathon so much more accessible than I thought. And I can't thank her enough. She helped me not only physically, but mentally. Between reassuring that I could do this, right up to the week before that marathon, when I still had some, fear, she and I had a great conversation, and I worked with her to work on my mental toughness, and I devised a plan with her on how I was going to get to the finish line, and I made it. I did it. So I can't thank her enough. This has been so helpful for me, and I think it's really changed how I see myself as an athlete.
I hope sharing that story inspired you and provided you some hope. If you want the one-on-one structure, accountability, and support from our Healthy Runner coaching team of experts, check out the behind-the-scenes video tour of our signature coaching program you just heard about, including other stories from runners who are just like you and were struggling with the same sticking points before they signed up for our program. Just head to learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com to learn more and book your strategy call with me today. Now let's get back into this episode. Step number four is the nutrition. So in our analogy of building a house, this is like installing the electrical, because the electricity is going to keep the lights on. The nutrition that you're taking in is going to give you the fuel, and it's going to give you the spark that you need for your Disney race. And you need to implement a simple, easy strategy that ensures you never run out of energy, or what we call bonk, in a race. And this is going to be key for you during your training to practice what you're going to use at your race. Nothing new on race day is the saying. So I really want to highlight a couple of key elements here. Is you want to fuel often, because the carbs are going to give you a spark. And one of the best carbs that you can have while you're in Disney is those wonderful Mickey pretzels. They're a great source of a carbohydrate. They have salt on them to give you some electrolytes, some sodium, especially if it's going to be a hot race for you in Disney. So, the weather, if you're doing marathon weekend, it's hit or miss. You can have it where it's really hot and humid. For the half marathon or the 7.1 miles in 2024, because of the thunderstorm, it was super humid. Dew point was high. The other days, it was actually pretty darn cold. When we ran it in 2020, the marathon actually got shortened because it was so hot outside. So the weather can vary in Disney. And definitely, if you're running springtime surprise, that is very hot. And definitely even for wine and dine, it can be very hot as well. So you want to make sure you're getting your electrolytes in. You want to make sure you're getting your water in, hydrating, and getting those carbs in that are going to give you a spark. So three elements that are key for your nutrition during your training, and practicing like taking those during training, even though you might not need it if you're training in a cold weather climate. So you need to practice it because we need to test our GI system. You need to make sure that your stomach is going to be okay with running with food in it. And initially, when I first started running, I used to run fasted all the time because I was told that, you know, it's better if you run fasted because you're burning more fat for energy and that's how you lose weight. And that was like the myth back then. Now we know more and science has helped us. And not only from a staying healthy standpoint, fueling standpoint, performance standpoint, but you're going to feel better during your runs when you start to fuel. So, and you're not going to run out of energy. It's not going to feel so hard for you to get that 8 mile or that 10 mile or that 12 miler in. You're going to actually be like, wow, I can do this once you start fueling. And you need to do it often. So every 20 to 30 minutes, you should be actually fueling for your long runs. And that's what you're going to need to do for your races. So super, super important. Other favorite carb snacks that are easily digestible while you're in Disney, if you're in the parks before any of these races, you got to get the Dole Whip, right? I'm a big Dole Whip fan. So whether you're getting it, now there's like multiple spots, right? You only could get it in Magic Kingdom. And now they even have it at Disney Springs. There's a couple different locations. At Animal Kingdom, you can get Dole Whip now. So that's a great snack. But you want to keep the food that you are eating before the race. Don't get too crazy, right? There are some crazy foods that you can get, whether you're in Epcot going around the world, you know, before the half marathon distance and the marathon distance, especially, it is important that you eat something that is going to be easily digestible and not too crazy in terms of like high fat content, fried foods. Those aren't going to really play well with your GI system the next day, especially if it's hot outside. So you want to, you know, think about having those carbs, not too much protein, not too many raw vegetables, not too much fruit. You want to stay away from the high fiber stuff the day before your half marathon or marathon. And that's what you need to practice with, guys, in training. So before your long runs, what are you going to eat the day before your race is what you should practice the day before your 12-mile long run or your 20-mile long run that you're doing for the marathon. So start to practice those now. Think about what foods you can get in Disney. In my recap episode, I shared with you some of the places that we love to eat at in Disney that have worked well. But you can find lots of places. And the thing that I love about Disney is they have the allergy-friendly menu. So like for me, I'm lactose intolerant. So it's like, you know, I want to make sure I stay away from dairy for like, you know, a couple of days before my races. So I can do that because I can just tell them like dairy-free and they make sure that the foods that I'm having are dairy-free. So that is the one nice thing about all of the Disney restaurants when you are staying on kind of property there. And then I didn't mention this in the running before, but we're a big Disney family. So we've almost been to like all of the Disney resorts. We make the joke that my younger daughter is 14 and she's been to Disney like 16 or 17 times already. So, you know, we like to frequent Disney at least once a year. And, you know, some of the best places to run, because if you are going for the races, like you're going to be doing some runs the week of the race, right? So you want to make sure you can run. Or if you are just going to Disney and, you know, you're training and you have to get a long run in, there's not a lot of great options. The roads around Disney are terrible in case you haven't been there before and tried to run. They don't have shoulders. They're not safe to run on, no matter how early you go out, because I get out there like 4 a.m., 5 a.m. when we're vacationing for my runs, and they're just dangerous. You got like the workers who are like driving into work, flying down the roads. There's no shoulders at all. So you really can't run on the roads in Disney property. There's no sidewalks, none of that stuff. So you have to run on the resorts. And most of the resorts have short little loops. You know, there's like a lake around like Pop Century, Art of Animation, which could work. I think it's like probably a mile and a half. Most of the resorts have something like that. Caribbean Beach does. you know, it does get a little boring, especially if you had to get a long run in to keep going around that same little lake. Spots that I've really enjoyed, actually, that we stayed at for Dopey the week before we did family vacation, and we actually stayed at Port Orleans Resort, which was kind of nice because they have a running path along the waterway. Guess it's like a river, I guess you want to say, where you can go from like Port Orleans to French Quarter and back. So that was, it was probably like a total distance of 2 or 3 miles to go like there and back. So that was kind of nice. I enjoyed that. I was able to get in all my runs before Dopey there. The other place that I really like to get in a long run, if you are staying at Beach Club or any of those boardwalk resorts, so Boardwalk, Beach Club, if you're staying at Yacht Club, Dolphin, Swan, any of those in that area, it's great because you can get a nice long run in around the boardwalk. You can run into any of those resorts, and then you can go over to the Dolphin and Swan, and you can even run down the pathway toward Hollywood Studios. So there's like a little walkway there. So I've done that before on long runs, which you can get in some substantial miles. You will get kicked out of the parking lots. Trust me, that's happened to me not one, not two, not three times. But I have gotten speed work in the Hollywood Studios parking lot until I got chased out by security in doing some interval reps or some tempo runs. But yeah, they don't like you running in the parking lots. That doesn't go over too well. I've gotten chased out of like ESPN. I ran over to there once. Again, the roads are not very safe, so I highly don't recommend you do that. But I was kind of wanted to explore, and then you kind of live and learn. If you are staying, the other place I like to really stay at is Old Key West. If you stay at that or those, oh man, it's the tree houses over there or Saratoga Springs. If you stay at any of those three, it's really nice because there's like a nature walking path that goes near the golf course. Don't actually go on the golf course part. Again, live and learn experience. I definitely did that on accident and got yelled at and like chased off the golf course while people were trying to play golf. And I'm like running around my like running best. So there is a nature path though that you can follow that goes like essentially all the way from like Old Key West, passes the tree houses, and then goes into Saratoga Springs. And then that connects into Disney Springs. So you can get a nice long run there. So I've done that many times and you just run throughout Disney Springs, which is pretty cool. So those are some recommendations on some Disney running if you are staying at any of the resort areas there. All right. So fourth step was kind of this nutrition, making sure we're getting carbs, give you fuel, spark. You got to have them during your run, water, as well as electrolytes. So electrolytes are going to be key, especially for your salty sweaters, especially if the dew point is going to be high. And I was thinking about everyone. I shared like a quick tip on all my social media when I was there in Disney right before the half marathon, because I knew that I needed to preload with electrolytes and water, and as did my wife. And as it was important after the race for recovery, especially because I was doing Dopey before the marathon. So those were like key and critical. And coming up next, guys, I'm going to share with you my final two steps for growing as a runner to be able to crush your Disney race. But before I do that, I'm going to ask you, if you're watching this on YouTube, hit that like button. Comment below which Disney race you are signed up for. So I'm interested to see how many people here are actually running marathon weekend. If you're doing Dopey, let me know. Or if you're running, you know, the springtime surprise, or if you are doing Wine and Dine, let me know. Or if you're doing Disney California, I haven't done that yet, but that's definitely on the bucket list. Let me know which race you are running below. And yeah, I appreciate you hitting that like button, because honestly, I want every Disney runner who is training for their race to implement these principles so they can enjoy lifelong injury-free running. And if, you know, this has been helpful for you, like I take the time out of my day to kind of be able to share these tips with you. So if you don't mind hitting the like button, greatly helps me be able to reach more Disney runners like yourself. And I appreciate that. So thank you very much. All right, the final two steps in building a solid, durable home in your running journey that is going to really last not only for the Disney race itself, but last a lifetime of running to come after your Disney race is over. Fifth step tip is going to be recovery. So this is like the insulation in the house, all right? And when they put up like the drywall and the flooring, like those steps in building a house, it's making sure your home is energy efficient. How you're going to make sure your body remains energy efficient in order to tolerate the demands of running and all those miles that you're going to be training for is to really make sure that you are feeling fresh for your runs. You're reducing fatigue between runs and after your strength training. You're staying healthy by prioritizing proper recovery. So this is of the physical body, your muscles, your tendons, your feet, your heart, your lungs, and your mind mentally, right? So how do we do this? We really have seven specific recovery strategies of proper sleep, low-hanging fruit. Everyone can do it, totally free. Don't need to buy anything, right? Everyone can get more sleep. That's the best form of recovery. Other self-care tips that I have implemented myself, I highly recommend to many of the athletes that we work with is foam rolling. Making sure we're improving blood flow. That's what foam rolling is essentially doing, making the soft tissues feel better. I have a great instructional video on my top seven muscles to foam roll as runners that you should be doing before your runs, after your runs, or whenever your muscles are feeling tight. And you can get that in my whole recovery blueprint for runners. If you go to learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com/recovery, and you'll get that instructional video. You're going to get also the other tips that I have for you in terms of what stretches you should be doing before your runs, dynamic stretches, warm up. If you're not warming up before your runs, do my 5-minute warm up. Takes literally 5 minutes. It's timed out for you. Again, instructional video. It will make like running feel so much better. So it's like amazing because I've always done a warm up before. Like I was doing warm ups before my workouts. So before I became a runner at age 31. And I just love hearing when runners tell me, like, I never knew I was supposed to warm up. I just went outside and started running. And when they start implementing a 5-minute dynamic warm up, they're like, wow, running feels so much better. It doesn't feel as hard. My legs don't feel sluggish. They don't feel heavy. So you got to do a dynamic warm up or dynamic stretching, we call it, before your run, not sit and reach, hold 30-second stretch, none of that before your run. Save that if you want to do some stretching after your run. So I have that all in the recovery blueprint for you. Deep dive details on all of that. Restorative yoga, massages, taking care of your feet, toe splays. So actually making sure we stretch the small muscles in your feet, especially for those of you who have like bunions or you get toe pain or you get plantar fasciitis. Like toe splays and the Neboso recovery products. They're one of our partners who I just absolutely love their products. Highly recommend. So important for recovery as runners. Even little things like elevating your feet after your long runs. And this is a quick tip that I shared in my kind of dopey recap episode. But one of the things I love when I'm at Disney is going to the poolside and laying in the lounge chairs instead of like laying with the head up elevated so like you could see people in the pool, see your kids in the pool, lay the other way. So your head's at the bottom of the chair, elevate the feet. So I always lay in my lounge chairs like that whenever I'm at the pool or because I'm usually recovering from some type of training, some type of long run, and that will help actually prevent pooling of fluid swelling in the feet and ankles, especially guys. Like think about if you've done Disney races before, how much time are you on your feet? A lot, right? Think about, oh my goodness, going to the expo. Like literally that day in of itself, you're on your feet for like 4 to 6 hours because you literally have to wait in lines and corral around just to get your race bib. And then you got to wait on more lines just to get in the expo, right? And then just to get the Run Disney gear. And that's like a madhouse, right? Trying to get all the garb. So you're on your feet a lot. You want to make sure you're taking those opportunities to elevate the feet. And then especially if you're going to the parks in between your races. Last year, I just remember Oh my goodness, the half marathon day. We did go to Epcot for a little bit, take some pictures, Donald Daisy, because the half marathon race. And then the sun came out and it got super hot and it was humid. And I was like, oh my goodness, I got to run a marathon tomorrow. And you know what? You know, the parks, like, as you guys know, they're not like small, right? They're huge. So just to go from one area to the other, you're walking for many, many hours. You're on your feet. You got to take the time to elevate the feet. And that's going to help you with recovery. So highly recommend that. Keep tabs on how much time you are spending in the parks during your race weekends. Super, super important. And the other thing I highly recommend, I mentioned my 7 muscles to foam roll video. I actually got a travel foam roller this year that I found on Amazon. It's hollow, but it's firm. So it was perfect. And inside of it, it came with a little foot roller, which was perfect. It came with a lacrosse ball. And the thing was, I got it on Amazon. It was probably 20 something bucks. It was awesome value. It was great. It gave me exactly what I needed. It was like a half of a foam roller, essentially a short one, not like it was full cylinder, but it was shorter. So it was like perfect. I could put it in my luggage, or I might've even just did it as a carry-on. Came in a little bag. It was like the best value, honestly. So if you reach out to me, I'll try to find you that link that I did purchase that, because I thought that was like amazing value for what it gave me. It was like 3 products that I used that I brought with me for the challenge. And I made sure that I did my rolling while I was there in between each of the races each day, just to stimulate that recovery. Super, super important. All right, last step in your running journey to conquer your Disney race is going to be your race strategy. So this is super important, and many people think that it's only the training, and if they do that, they just go out and run the race. There's actually a strategy. You got to have a race day game plan, which really includes what you need for race day, includes what are your plans, how are you going to plan that out on race day, what time are you waking up? These races are super early. You need to wake up literally in the 2s and the 3 a.m. hour in order to get everything done. So you have to think about all of these things. And a couple of tips I'll give you specific for Disney. And then we actually do have a whole race day blueprint with checklists that you can actually like make sure you have everything you need for race day, as well as make your own schedule. And usually I just work my way back, thinking about what time does my corral close. So for those of you that don't know, you haven't run a Disney race, they call it a corral. It's basically a sectioned off area and they have different letters. So A is going to be the super, super fast people. E is going to be, you know, your 15, 16 minute pace per mile people. So depending upon if you've submitted a previous half marathon or marathon time, they put you in a specific corral. You need to find out, A, closes first. They got to get there the earliest. E, closes last. So you have to find out what time does your corral close. And then work your way back. What time do I need to get on the bus? So all of these travel things you need to plan. And my advice to you is you got to get there early, even though it sucks waking up so early. I'm not going to lie. It really does. And I'm not one that, especially after you do it like once or twice, you kind of get the hang of it. And that's like the benefit of Dopey, is doing it multiple days. You kind of know where to go. You know the deal, you know how it looks, all of that. The one thing that threw me off for the marathon is the marathon day is so much different because there's different road closures. It's busier. There's more people running the marathon where everything was later. I missed my corral. I had to go in a later corral. So if you're running the marathon, even get there earlier, because I noticed that because of all the road closures and how they routed the buses, it was different than the previous 3 days. So you have to take all of that into account. Bedtime, you got to get to bed early. If you're staying around any of the Magic Kingdom resorts, keep in mind that fireworks go off at 8 p.m. the night before. So if you're waking up at 2 a.m. and you were planning to go to bed at 7 or 8, I was planning to go to bed at 7. I didn't actually get into bed till like 7:45. And then before I fell asleep, boom, fireworks went off. We were staying at Fort Wilderness Cabins area, and that prevented me from going to bed at the time I wanted to go to bed. So keep that in mind if you are sensitive to noise. Get to bed early. You got to prioritize that sleep. Think about how long it's going to take from the hotel in order to get to the park. And then throw away clothing for race day. Super, super important. You have to bring anything that you would normally donate at home. Like, that's what we packed. You're going to donate it anyway, right? You're going to wind up donating it to Goodwill. Then, you know, this is where you start to think about, before you donate everything before a race, like, hey, put it aside. Hey, I could just wear this race morning to stay warm, and then just leave it there. And everyone does that. Disney also gives out what they call Mylar blankets. They're like these thin little, they look like aluminum. They're supposed to retain the heat. They're not super great at doing that when it is really cold out and they don't cover everything, but they can be helpful. Unfortunately for the marathon this year, they ran out of them by marathon day because they gave them all out for the 5K, 10K, and half marathon day. You don't need usually a Mylar blanket after a 5K or a 10K. So hopefully they'll plan a little better next year and have them for marathon day, because you really do need it after a marathon effort when you're out there for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. Your body is kind of going into shock afterwards, and it's going to start to get real cold. And you want to try to maintain some of that core temperature for your muscle recovery, honestly, and so you don't feel like crap. So hopefully they have Mylar blankets, but they give them out like the first day. So keep yours, bring it to you the next morning so you can stay warm when you're waiting around in your corrals. And that brings me to my next tip, is in the corrals, I don't see any value at all, unless you are really thinking you might get swept by the balloon ladies and you can't maintain that 16-minute mile pace, then there's really no value at all in getting there earlier just to stand like, you know, you're a sardine with all these people around you for like an hour. And I saw people do that. I highly recommended, like, the first day, the 5K day with my whole family, all four of us, we got there earlier. We got in our crown. We literally stood in one place for like 30 to 45 minutes. It's pretty terrible. Like, not great for your body. You're not ready to run. Second day, my daughter and I, 10K day, it was perfect. I basically got there right before our corral closed. We were in the back of the corral. So everyone like moves up in these different waves. We're in the back of the corral. I'm doing my dynamic warm up. We're doing leg swings. You know, I'm doing some whatever. I got space. I can do what I want to do. It was perfect, honestly. So I highly recommend that you just go to the back of your corral. As long as you're in that corral, you're going off when everyone else is. So it really doesn't matter. Like, you're still going to have tons of people in front of you, whether you're in the back of your corral or, you know, the front of your corral, because there was corrals before you that went out on the course. So it really, it's going to be crowded the first couple of miles anyway. You look at it, you might as well like have some space, enjoy, and, you know, do your kind of warm up if you're used to doing a warm up before a race. And if it's cold out, you're going to want to like stay warm by moving around. So I highly recommend you just go to the back of your corral and just hang out there. You got all this free movement, and, you know, you wind up walking up, and that can kind of keeps you warm. I thought that was great. That was a great thing that we did that second day. Definitely did that half, and I did that for my marathon as well. So I highly recommend that. And then on race day, the other thing that I would tell you is Disney races are super, super crowded, especially 5K, 10K day, because the courses are shorter, super crowded. And then for the half and the marathon, you know, it is crowded in the beginning. And what I would recommend versus trying to bob and weave in and out, pick one side. Are you going to stay to the right or are you going to stay to the left? Stay there and just run there. And if there's someone who's like super slow right in front of you, you can kind of step out off to the side, maybe run on the grass for a little bit and then come back in. Obviously, you know, I highly wouldn't recommend it if you don't have good ankle strength, you have a history of ankle sprains, and because it is dark outside at the same time. But it wasn't long that we had to do that. But that's the strategy I implemented, and it makes it more fun. You don't feel like you're like stuck in front of like all these people, and then you get frustrated and you try to like zigzag in and out, and you're just wasting energy, and it's dangerous. Honestly, you're gonna like trip someone, you're gonna trip, you're gonna knock into someone, be like, sorry, excuse me, you know, and then it's like you're just that person. So I would recommend staying to one side, pick a side, stay on it, and if there's someone just like going super slow in front of your pace, like that's in front of you, you can bob off to the left if you're on the left hand side, or bob off to the right and be able to pass them. So I would highly recommend that strategy. I think you'll like it a lot more. And then, you know, race day, you got your character stop. So think about, are you going to take pictures with characters? If you are, then, you know, obviously you're not running it for time, because you will be waiting for a long period of time on most of these lines, except for the marathon day. That was the only day that I saw there were literally, like, I stopped for 4 character stops in the second half of the marathon, because there was like 2 people, 3 people. It was maybe like 10 seconds tops I waited. But, you know, I got my picture with like Anna and Elsa, or like Flynn Rider, Goofy. So, you know, think about, are you going to stop for characters? If you are, like, there were some lines that I saw, you know, 40, 50, 60 people deep. So like, have a strategy for race day. What are you going to get out of it? Like, are you going to be stopping for characters, getting the whole experience? Totally cool. But don't expect to like stop for characters and like, you know, be unhappy with whatever time that you run the race at, because those things will definitely conflict those goals. For the marathon, are you going to ride Everest in Animal Kingdom, or are you going to like go on Tower of Terror in Hollywood Studios? Yes, you can do that if you didn't know that, for those races. So think about, are you going to do that in Epcot? Are you going to actually get some adult beverages around the world? You can do that. By the time you get in Epcot, if Epcot is open, you can do that, and people do that. So think about like, what are you wanting on race day, and what that experience will look like for you. Having a race day plan is super important. And I didn't really talk about strategy, but real quickly, first, you want to think 3-part strategy. So for the half marathon, first 3 miles are going to be your slowest miles. And it probably will be anyway because of the crowds. So it's kind of good that you're conserving energy. The middle portion, and so let's go first part, half marathon, first 3 miles, marathon, first 6 miles. Second part is the middle miles. This is where you lock into your goal race pace. So for the half marathon, it's going to be miles 4 through 10. For the marathon, it's going to be miles 7 through 20. Those are the middle miles. Those are like the grinding miles. You're out on the like the highways. You know, it is the time you're running through Magic Kingdom, which is great. Running down Main Street, which is awesome. Seeing the castle, smiling for all those Disney photo pass people. And that's another thing I would highly recommend. You just invest and get the photo pass if you're running multiple races, just because like they take great pictures. So why not get them and capture those memories, especially if this is your first time? You only get one first, right? And this was my first dopey this last year. So highly recommend you just pay the money for the photo pass package so you can get all of your race picks for race day. And then the last part of the race, this is where you can close. This is where you can push it. This is where you can really, you know, start to pick it up. So for the half marathon, that's after mile 10, that's your time to go push. You can push the pace. You're not going to hit a wall, right? For the marathon, it's mile 20. Mile 20, 26.2, this is where we can start to turn it up. This is where I was able to really like lock in. After Animal Kingdom, you go into like Blizzard Beach parking lot. I totally was fine with it. Many people complain about it. I had no issues running around the parking lot. Like, it's no different than running on the streets. There was kind of a hard on-ramp onto the highway there. That was a little hill. Besides that, it was great. Like going through the boardwalk area for the marathon, flying through Epcot, taking your victory lap around the world, and then finishing 26.2 miles is just magical. It was awesome. But that's the part that you can push. this is where you can turn it on. And so you want to think about that strategy. Again, we have that all outlined for you in more detail regarding race strategy in our race day blueprint, 10 tips to crush your race, learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com/race. You can get more details on that. When you execute the six parts that I just mentioned to your Disney running journey, you'll not only feel more confident in getting stronger and faster, but you're going to stay healthy and enjoy the process of running and training for Disney. Just like a well-built home will require little maintenance and bring you a lifetime of memories for you and your family, so will your Disney race. Just like Dipti, she completed another dopey challenge this past year, and she didn't need to worry about shin splints. She enjoyed every moment of taking multiple character photos, riding Everest. She was one of those. And she drank some adult beverages in France and Mexico in Epcot with her friends, took some amazing pictures, even the jump pictures, to finish off her marathon. I was super impressed with that. I've had the pleasure of coaching her to injury-free running and building her back up to conquering the marathon again. And she's currently working with Coach Whitney on our team right now before her Flying Pig marathon. And we actually just spoke yesterday, actually. So I'm super excited for her. She is doing phenomenal. Or Stephanie, who she's actually someone who reached out to me who was 8 weeks out of dopey. And typically, the runners that we work with, it is for a 16-week commitment, because honestly, in order to see real true change that's going to last you, it does take 16 weeks. So we really like to start with someone at the beginning of a training cycle, not midway through. However, Stephanie, really, her story resonated with me, and I took her on as a client, and I was so excited that she was able to finish dopey without IT band pain and be able to finish the last 6 miles feeling great. And I was just so proud of her that we got her to the start line. And we really utilized the run, walk, run strategy. And that's where I structured all of that out for her, the intervals. And we worked closely to make sure that she didn't have to not do the dopey challenge, right? And just, you know, be the worst miserable experience with the sharp knee pain on the outside of her knee. So I was super excited for her. Or Becca, who really just completed another injury-free marathon in Disney, and I had the pleasure of helping her recover from her IT band issues last year, and then Coach Lou worked with her at getting her marathon PR in Berlin. And then she really was able to run a strong and injury-free marathon in Disney. I was actually trying to catch up to her to find her on the course, but I couldn't because she was running so fast. So she ran her second fastest marathon. And the best part is that it was injury-free. And Sonia, I'm so proud of her. She completed her first marathon in Disney, in the most magical place. She was getting guidance from Coach LaToya on our team, and they've just been doing some exceptional work together. I'm so happy, so proud of her that she was able to run her first marathon in Disney. Or Margie, who PR'd her 2024 Disney marathon, and she finished second in her age group, which is like amazing. Amazing. She totally crushed the race, and she really credits it to getting stronger and learning about strength training for running, because clearly she was a pretty accomplished runner. She was a faster runner. Unfortunately, she was struggling with some upper hamstring pain, high hamstring tendinopathy, PHT, I mentioned before. We started working together to get over that pain and then really implemented the strength training for running. That was kind of, she felt like was the key to getting stronger in her running journey. And she absolutely crushed the marathon. So those are just some of the athletes, guys, that we've worked with to help for their Disney runs. Now that you've listened to these six steps in your Disney training, like, congrats. Thank you for sticking around if you honestly listened to me for this long. Now, remember, like, this is only the first step, though. Like, you have to learn, right? So that's what you did today. You got educated that, like, oh, there's more to running than just running, right? Like, I taught you five other key elements to your Disney training for your race. But now you need to like start to implement. So the first step I would say is to like download your free copy of the ebook I have that outlines all of those six steps in more detail. And then I mentioned like the other ebooks for recovery. We also have a marathon ebook. So you can get that all at learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com. And if you want clarity and focus on how to integrate runner-specific strength and recovery exercises and get guidance from a coach on how to specifically modify your run plan to conquer your Disney race or races, that's exactly what we do with our Spark Healthy Runner Signature Coaching Program. So that's our one-on-one program where we teach you how to grow as a runner, not only to crush your Disney running goal, but avoid feeling frustrated because you get injured along the way or you're not getting faster. And we act as your guide, your personal guide in mastering the six steps that you learned about today and mastering the mindset and providing you all the support you need, because a lot of you need support for that mindset piece and really getting the confidence up that you can do hard things and that you can dream big, right? Like Walt says, you can dream it, you can do it. And that's my sign right behind me that I'm pointing to, that I live by. And also your strength training, like what exact strength training exercise do you need and do you have time for with your busy work schedule, your demands? We structure that out for you. Take away the guesswork. Stop trying to like, you know, YouTube exercise, do your own research. Not sure if it's working for you. We provide clarity on what you need to do for strength training. And then your structured run plan to really structure it out and to modify it. Because a lot of the plans you're going to download online, guys, they're just plans. And they're not a living, breathing document. What we do is we modify the plans for when you go on vacation, when you get sick, when you're working, you know, long hours and you just haven't slept. And you know what? You need to skip a run today. How do we modify the rest of the week for you? That's what we do with our coaching program. The nutrition element. We educate you with our registered dietitian, Brooke, on exactly what nutrition you need in order to conquer your Disney race. And we provide suggestions. We put them into practice during your long runs, like I mentioned before, as well as provide you the recovery strategies and then a personalized race day game plan strategy that we do with you on your last call right before your race. So when you get structure to execute the six steps that I mentioned, you're going to feel so much more confident for your Disney race and enjoy those magical memories that you're going to make in the parks. So you can learn more about our signature coaching program by just going to learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com/coaching to apply for that. And if you like this episode, then I am sure that you're going to like the next. And that is my Dopey Challenge recap. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, queue up episode 210 on the Healthy Runner podcast. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, just click the link in the video that I have for you here next. And as always, guys, let's maintain a strong mind, a strong body, and let's just keep on running in Disney. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Healthy Runner podcast, where we help you get stronger, run faster, and enjoy lifelong injury-free running. If you found this content valuable, here's five ways we can help you grow as a runner for free. One, grab a free copy of my Spark Blueprint at learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com. Two, follow my Instagram page at Spark Healthy Runner. Three, join my free group by searching Healthy Runner on Facebook. Four, subscribe to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/sparkhealthyrunner. Five, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more experts in the running field and bring those lessons back to you here. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or the follow button on Spotify so you don't miss the next episode of Healthy Runner, so you can maintain a strong mind, a strong body, and just keep running. Lastly, if you've been struggling with the constant injury cycle, not eating the right foods for running, or not getting faster as a runner, and you are ready to invest in becoming a lifelong injury-free runner, head to sparkhealthyrunner.com to apply for a one-on-one signature coaching program. Thank you again. I mean it from the bottom of my heart that I appreciate you for listening and sharing this podcast with a running friend who can use the help. Now go and crush your run today. See you next week.